Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you have a scary story you would like to submit, email it to me at zachbabytv@gmail.com. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons. Now, it's time to get spooky in the woods. You might be thinking by the title of this, there's something in the North Carolina forests. Of course there's something out in the forest. Deers, bears, chipmunks, etc. I know that. But there's something far worse than any of those animals. I have lived in the Brevard area of North Carolina. It's a nice town. Well, the only town I could afford to live in. My work is located in Waynesville, and it takes a bit of a drive to get to it. In the afternoons after work, I like to take the parkway route home. It's peaceful, especially after a long day. All of those times I have driven on those roads, not once have I felt uneasy. But the other day, I was absolutely terrified. It was a beautiful afternoon, the sky setting with a pink hue and the air crisp. I had driven my motorcycle that day, knowing the weather was going to be nice. It was almost off the parkway, passing through several tunnels. There's one tunnel that stretches really far, for which seemed like forever. Pitch black. No other lights except my single headlight. I got a sudden chill, the hairs on the back of my neck rising. I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, slightly speeding up. Out of nowhere, someone or something jumped out onto the road. It stopped for a split second, locking eyes with me, and then disappeared down the side of the mountain. I kept going, heart thumping so loud I could hear it over the rushing wind. I finally stopped at a gas station far away from the parkway. That animal, or whatever it was looking at me with much intent in such little time. From what I caught, it stood on 2 feet like a human, but its facial features weren't. It had pale, almost bleach-white skin, with no body hair of any kind. The thing's eyes were slightly sunken in, and it didn't have a mouth. What was there instead was those long tentacle-looking things. The hands and feet of the thing was more like of a chicken's, but more meatier. I know what you're thinking. You might be calling me crazy and going to click away from this story. That's fine. I'm writing this story for myself and others out there that have seen this thing. That night, I didn't get any sleep. I tossed and turned, still thinking about that creature. Sometime during the night, I heard strange noises outside my house. I tried playing it off as one of my neighbors messing around with their yard, but I knew what it really was. The following week, nothing happened. No sightings of that creature, nothing. I tried researching articles and news sites if anyone else had spotted this creature. I didn't see anything promising, just scared people mistaking a bear for a monster in the woods. It seemed this creature, whatever it was, didn't exist. Well, I knew it didn't exist, because there was no creature or animal that remotely looked like it. But that was only the calm before the storm. I had rode my motorcycle that day to work, thinking nothing else of the week before. As I got closer and closer to my work, I felt eyes staring at me. The rest of the day I felt paranoid and uncomfortable. All my coworkers seemed to avoid me. I was afraid if I told them, they would label me as crazy. My boss had me stay later that day, well into the night. As the few people that stayed longer went home, I stood by the entrance of the building. I stared out into the parking lot at my motorcycle. Dread washed over me, and all I wanted to do was turn around and go back inside the building. I knew I couldn't, and stepped out, fearing my fate. The drive back home was eerily silent except for the sound of my engine. There was no other cars on the parkway. I began to feel more and more uneasy as I started going through the tunnels. I got to that long tunnel, speeding up. As I neared the end, I saw a shadow standing there. I tried to maneuver around it, but it sidestepped and yanked me off my motorcycle. I flew through the air, landing on my stomach, all air leaving my lungs. I watched as my motorcycle skidded across the road, sparks partially lighting up the tunnel. I gasped for air, trying to push myself up and run away. I tried to stand, only to feel mess happen claw-like hands grab my ankles. I screamed and shook the hand away, running as fast as I could out of the tunnel. I stopped at my bike and reached down to pick it up. Doing so, I heard a wailing scream emit from the creature. I snapped my head back towards it, heart dropping. It was slowly making its way towards me, like it knew I couldn't get away. Suddenly, it stopped. I turned back around and saw a car driving up. The car stopped and driver rolled down their window. They asked something along the lines if I was okay. I waved them off, looking back at the tunnel. I caught a glimpse of the creature slowly lurking back into the dark tunnel. The driver that came upon me called the police and ambulance. They took me to the hospital where I finally realized my injuries. I had road rash on my arms and legs, and my jeans were torn in several places. My adrenaline was gone, and I felt my body become tired by the hour. Every bone in my body felt sore as I sat there in the small room, waiting to be released. The nurse signed off on some more papers and told me about my bill. I cursed, knowing this visit was going to cost me. Better costing me money and not my life. As I made my way to the entrance of the hospital, I saw that thing waiting for me in the parking lot. There's something in the forest. I used to live in Texas, the countryside. Duncanville, I'd say. This happened in 1992, so I might have imagined the whole ordeal. I was always near my parents' house, rarely strayed away from it. I had, for whatever reason, to venture out into the wilderness and explore it. There was a forest by my house, where my dad would let me go into it in order to get a little exercise. The sun was out, the birds were chirping, and the shriveled leaves were swaying in the gentle breeze. I picked up sticks from the ground and swung them at the trees. This was something I did almost every day in the summer. If I wasn't doing that, I was playing Super Mario World with my brother on his NES. But we never could beat it. It was frustrating. We'd take turns trying to beat it on the same area. It didn't help that we took turns and then got mad at each other when one of us would die. Other than that, we were pretty good with one another. Walking outside one day, I followed the path until I saw something pale red at the end. Surrounded by a chain-like fence and rusty cars was a barn. It contrasted so much with the trees, it didn't look like it belonged. I cautiously walked towards it, suspicious of what it was. The large wooden doors loomed above me, like a Lovecraftian monster maw. I looked in front of myself. The door was chained shut. I was wondering what to do with it, maybe cut it open or rattle the door. I was about to leave, but I heard the chain move behind me. I looked back. A bloodied ID card fell from one of the branches above me. I stepped back in shock. It said Stuart Varland. I recognized the name. Stuart was a family friend, a police officer, along with my dad, and had disappeared recently. I heard the chain again, flinching and stepping a bit closer. The door was almost open, only stopped by the chain. Gargantuan hands were trying to pry it open. I'm pretty sure I was hyperventilating at this point. I started to run, but tripped and fell. I backed myself up against a tree, just before the barn door was busted open by a giant beast. I remember seeing it for one brief moment, that horrible dark shape, shrouded in the darkness of the barn. It just stared at me. I was terrified, frozen in place. It wouldn't move or acknowledge me at all. It was wearing riot armor and remnants of a shirt. The monster looked around and saw me sitting there. It gave a deep, roaring roar, one that continues to be stuck in my mind to this day. It charged towards me, and I just barely dodged. I ran back to my house, and the thing still followed me, or so I thought. I looked back, and it was just gone. The barn and everything was still there, but the creature was nowhere to be seen. My dad opened the front door, probably about to get me for dinner. He brought me inside and to the kitchen table. 4 plates of Salisbury steak, peas, and mashed potatoes were on the table, and my brother and my mom were already sat down. We all ate in silence. Almost immediately afterwards, it was time for me and my brother to go to bed. I told my brother goodnight. He nodded and smiled. My mom came in and gave me a hug, just barely cheering me up. It took me hours to fall asleep completely because I kept having nightmares. Sometimes, I still wonder, is it still out there? Was it Bigfoot? Story about the Oregon wilderness, as told by Jim, my aunt's friend, avid hiker and hunter. I don't remember much of the details. His stories all had basically one particular conclusion: presence of something intelligent in surrounding wilderness. Jim used to hike just like my grandpa, with one exception: that my grandfather was a professional backpacker back in the USSR, which is going to be of some significance later, and he traveled with a group and some firearms. Jim used to go all alone in the wilderness with a firearm as well. Jim's encounters had never ended in a particular meeting with any entity, but usually in a form of traces, broken branches, distant howling and roaring, and a feeling that he was being watched, which he actually dismissed as his natural instinctive reaction to unfamiliar environment and vast possibilities. Bears, wolves, moose, all could be around. Except for one such encounter. I don't remember what area he was telling me exactly about, but I'm pretty sure it was one of those rogue river forests in Oregon. So, as usual, he left his car at the parking lot and continued on foot. I think he planned for 3 days, but I'm not sure. Anyways, closer to the dusk, Jim found a place for him to stop. He prepared his dinner using a portable stove, got his tent up and his sleeping bag in, and then fell asleep. He couldn't recall when it had happened, but it was already dark outside, except for the moon shining over the nearby top, but Jim didn't really know that yet. Jim woke up to loud banging noises that appeared to be wood on wood knocking, but it was so loud, he couldn't hear his own commotion as he was pulling the sleeping bag, forcing himself out of it, then pulling the rifle and sending a round up into the chamber. He called out once, twice, thrice, and at that point, he was frightened. The banging never stopped. He poked his rifle out of the tent and squeezed the trigger. Flash illuminated the outside of the tent. The bang followed. And then silence. From what I remember, it was kind of a deafening silence for him. Blood was pulsing in his ears. He was blushing and almost had a vertigo. He was also startled by his own rifle as everything happened so quickly, he never adapted to the situation. It was silent, but for not too long, but for him, it was almost forever. Did I just kill someone? And then roaring and the sound of breaking branches not far away. He was so scared and confused, he was contemplating whether he should stay inside or wait with the rifle to go outside and pursue the intruder. Jim forced himself out of the tent, screaming, "You mother! Leave me alone! I'll shoot you!" There was nothing outside. His eyes just started to get used to the darkness, and within a minute, he noticed a spruce not far away from him. Maybe in the distance of a clear shot, started to swing from one side to another like there was something on top of it, forcing the tree to break down. It was like that for quite some time, and then it stopped. Jim decided to go inside and just wait for sunrise, which he did, and then he quickly grabbed everything he had and made all the way back to the parking lot as fast as he could, and never stopped for longer than enough to catch a breath. As for my grandpa, he was much younger at the time. He was hiking and kayaking back to civilization with a group in the Urals. They spent weeks in the wilderness occasionally encountering foresters, cabins, or entire villages of the local population called Mansi. They would usually trade something for food, usually alcohol, which was the most valuable product for the Mansi, and they would direct them not to go into certain areas deemed cursed or sacred. My grandfather was never a communist, a member of the Communist Party, which was a reason why he never considered for promotion. He was a deputy director of a lab at one of the Soviets' mechanical engineering centers, busy with nautical ballistic missiles for submarines. But he sure was atheist. So, they would only smirk and do whatever they want. And even then, they would encounter some weird crap. I was amazed just how similar Jim's story was to the one of my grandfather's stories. I found a note in our treehouse with instructions on how to handle an encounter with evil. When I was 12, my parents moved us into a house that had exactly what I needed in the front yard, a treehouse. Except it was an unusual looking one, just a wooden ladder that extended up to an area with some wooden boards. If I had to guess, I would say that the space was big enough to hold two full-grown adults. As an only child, but more importantly a child that my father regretted having, I took every opportunity I had to hide from him in the treehouse. He hated going up there. He usually only made it up there a few steps before getting out of breath and climbing back down and yell at my mother. Once he became manager of the factory he worked at, his pompous behavior became unbearable. He drank heavily and always lashed out at us for not showing enough appreciation for his hard work. One evening, while I hung out in the treehouse, I noticed a piece of paper rolled up like a scroll in between two branches. Upon unraveling it, I was met with the following. How to handle an encounter with evil. Step 1. Choose the evil entity. Step 2. Bring a dangerous object into the treehouse and rub it against the sap of a tree branch. Step 3. Bring an object that this evil adores, its most prized possession, into the treehouse and lure the evil entity inside. Step 4. Say these words in front of the evil entity. Rid me of this evil in front of me. Show thy strength. My mind raced with exciting thoughts. It was clear whom I considered evil, but I didn't know what to expect by going through with the instructions. For all I knew, it was just a note a previous homeowner's kid had written during a game of make-believe. But I wanted to give it a shot. I believed in it. My father had an axe in the shed in the backyard, so that's what I quickly gravitated towards and selected as my dangerous object. After rubbing it against the sticky sap on one of the branches, I placed the axe down on the wooden board. My father's greatest friend was his TV remote. To grab the remote from his hand was a risk in itself. He would pummel me if I didn't get away fast enough. During a long gulp of a freshly cracked open beer, I snatched the remote from his right hand. I ran outside and made my way to the top of the treehouse.
Boy, have you gone mad? You really outdid yourself tonight.
My father shouted from the bottom of the ladder as I peeked my head over the floorboards.
After I get my remote back, I'm going to teach you a lesson you will never forget.
When he made it to the top, my father's face was beetroot, comical and horrifying at the same time. I was starting to regret my decision as he clenched his fists. Rid me of this evil in front of me now. Show thy strength, I yelled.
What kind of comic book horseshit are you spewing? You think this is one of your superhero fantasies?
My father just barely fit atop the floorboard, his head brushed up against some branches. As he reached for my throat, I noticed some movement behind him, above him, all around us. The branches. They were sprouting something sharp. Little tiny axes, hundreds of them, were growing out of the branches. I gasped and rubbed my eyes. My father was so fixated on me that he didn't even react until the first branch struck his back. And then another, and another. Branches swayed and slithered and carved bloody holes into my father. Within seconds, he was unrecognizable. He fell in front of me. As I crawled over him, the branches receded, allowing me to make my exit. Standing atop the ladder, my hands trembled as I watched the wooden boards fold like a book, crushing my father inside. The boards proceeded to transform and morph into just another tree branch. Terrified at what I was witnessing,
I lost my balance and tumbled down the ladder, hitting my jaw against a branch. My mother heard me wailing and ran outside over to me. They never found my father. I told people what happened, but they didn't buy it. They think he just ran away from home. There was no blood in the treehouse, no evidence. Even my mother thinks he removed the boards from the treehouse in an act of frustration against abandoning us. With my mother jobless, we had to sell the house with her sister's help. Before we moved into her sister's place, I climbed the ladder one final time looking for something, anything, but there was nothing out of the ordinary. But then I saw it, a rolled up piece of paper amongst the sea of branches. The same paper with the same instructions. And I soon realized I had missed one last step. I had never looked at the back of the paper. Final step. After the evil entity is removed, do not tell others what happened. Failure to follow this final step will result in catastrophic consequences.